It's a blessing. Enjoy our music. I sure enjoyed Sunday in the choir. What a blessing that was. If you want your Bible tonight, turn to Colossians. Continue our series on the preeminence of Christ. The preeminence of Christ. And again, as we think about Paul writing to the church at Colossae, it reminds them that Christ excels above all beliefs and persons, and that he is not to be mixed in with all the other religions. Neither is Christianity to be mixed in with all the other religions and put on the same level, but that Christ excels above all of them. He is preeminent. He is preeminent. Colossians chapter 3, we begin reading in verse 10. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore," so we've already talked about, he says, you know, take off these things, "but put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved," and then he gives you a list, "bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all of these," here's the thing that holds it all together, all these other characteristics, all these other graces, "above all these things put on charity," love in action, "which is the bond of perfectness," or completeness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we love you. We thank you. Praise you. Bless this reading of your word. Bless the preaching tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. When we get up in the morning, we have to make a choice. We go to the closet. We have to make a choice of what we're going to put on. In my closet now, that's kind of limited because I've gained a little weight. And so it's limited to what I have in my closet that I can wear because I gave away all my big clothes. I don't have any big clothes, but bigger than what I have on tonight. And so I'm a little limited, and I'm not buying any new clothes, not doing it. That's it. Brother Billy, quit putting candy up here on my... Now you got your whole family doing it.
I spend that a thought.
And somebody gives bread and all sorts of stuff. It's okay. It's the way you show your love to the pastor. I get it. But God is so good. But I go to the closet and I look in there and I have to decide what to wear. And, you know, during the week, I normally wear, business casual, sort of business casual, some slacks and some dress shoes, polo shirt, untucked because I'm... But I choose what to wear. On Sundays, I have to choose what suit I'm going to wear and what shoes I'm going to wear. And instead of taking this illustration and continuing to run with it, we have to decide what we're going to wear, physically what we're going to wear. But I'm telling you, the Bible very distinctly tells us that we make the same decision spiritually as well when we get up in the morning. We make that decision. We make a choice. We make a choice of what to wear spiritually. We make a choice whether we get up and we take care of that new man and give him what he needs to be all that he can be by feeding him spiritual things, by reading our Bible and by praying and taking a little time. By the way, you know, there's not an all-in-all, you know, method of doing that. When we lived in Springtown for all those years, I used my commute back and forth as my prayer time, and many times also might have the Bible playing on my phone or whatever the case is. You don't have to just, you know, there's not like a lockbox of the way in which things are done. But there ought to be time spent with the Lord in the morning. There ought to be time. Abraham spent time with the Lord in the morning. David spent time with the Lord. We know that Daniel spent time with the Lord in the morning. And we choose, again, what we're going to put on. So here Paul uses this analogy of taking off the old man and putting on the new man. I'm thankful when I got saved, I received a new nature. I received the new man, right? Because the old man, the old nature, a part of that Adamic curse, that because of Adam's sin, our nature was marred. It was skewed. That's why as a lost person and even as a saved person, you can't just let your conscience be your guide. Though Adam and Eve would have had a perfect conscience, a perfect morality, we do not because of sin, because we have received a sinful nature. But when we get saved, we receive that new nature once again. Amen. Praise the Lord. That nature, that new creation takes place in our life and in our hearts, and we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives and indwells within us. And the Holy Spirit's there to help us and guide us and comfort us and lead us into all truth. So many things that the Holy Spirit does for us. Again, it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to put on the new man, to get up in the morning and not allow the old man to be put on, but put on that new man. In verses 1 through 4, Colossians chapter 3, we see that we identify with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And because we identify with him and the death, burial, and resurrection, we've accepted him as Savior, we ought to seek those things which are above and set our affections on things above. In other words, we ought to stay focused on Jesus. Man, that's been one of our major themes the last 3, 4, 5 years, especially since COVID. We've spent a lot of time. It's a necessity that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. There's so much out there that gets us distracted, and we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Keep our eyes up. We're dead to self, but alive unto God. And verse 5 speaks about Christ as our life. And because Christ is our life, here's what that looks like. So Paul's saying, okay, you've accepted Christ as your Savior. You've identified with him in the death, burial, and resurrection. You're now on resurrection ground, on victory ground. You've been given the Holy Spirit that enables you and empowers you to overcome the things in your life, the sins in your life, to give you victory in life. Here's what that looks like, he's saying. Here's what that looks like. Here's what it looks like. To identify with Christ. Mortify your selfish, sinful deeds. Mortify that sinful nature, that old man. Mortify means to kill him. By the way, he's dead already. And that'll be another message sometime, but I'm telling you, we have to make that conscious decision. And then it gives you a list of sensual things that we must put off, that are identified with that old nature, that old man. And then only to give you a list of the sensual sins there in verses 5 through 7, but verses 8 through 9 that we covered a couple of weeks ago, there he speaks about some social sins, anger and wrath and malice and many other things that are somewhat acceptable in our society, but as Christian, it shouldn't be associated with you. And Paul's analogy again is, again, this putting on and putting off. And the characteristics that we as Christians should outwardly portray, the clothes that we wear, and I'm talking about spiritual clothes of the heart, the inward heart, eventually show up on the outside. Remember, God works from the inside out. God works on the inside. God works in us that he might work through us, that we might be used of him. And so as he's working in us for his good pleasure, the Bible says, then that it eventually comes out in our actions. It comes out in what we do. And that's what Paul's speaking about here, is that the outward expression of the inward transaction, the outward expression of the old man should look like this and not look like this. Our conduct should demonstrate our Christian faith. I said a couple weeks ago that God is concerned about how we act. God is concerned about our behavior. Sometimes we live in a Christian society that says, well, grace covers everything, therefore I can live and do what I want. God doesn't care, but they'll say God understands. God understands. I'm just a man, you know, I'm just a woman, I'm just a sinner, and therefore, you know, God understands. No, he says, be holy for I am holy. You know, God is concerned about our behavior. God is concerned, and as a Christian, that behavior should demonstrate our faith. We must put on the new man. I know I've already said it tonight, but it's a choice. A choice. We either make the choice to put on the new man, or we hurt. We hurt the faith. In other words, our testimony hurts the faith. And whether it's a coworker or a family member, a neighbor that sees your actions and sees them in less than the way they ought to be because you claim to be a Christian, it hurts the faith. How we act and react is often louder than our words. It's kind of like a mama or a daddy telling their kids not to smoke, but they just keep on trucking. If you think that's going to work, mom and daddy, you're deceived. Although they'll conform a little as they grow up because they have to, but what they see, what mama and daddy do, many times, not all the time, but many times, far more impressionable to them than what you say. In other words, your actions should back up what you say. And as a Christian, it should be the same way. We need to, again, be careful, be careful, be careful. Put on the new man. How words and actions should reveal, our words and actions should reveal that we are Christians. And again, it's a process. As we grow in Christ, we grow in the knowledge of Him, we are renewed. Let's look at this verse real quick. Look at again here at our text verse. Look at verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Put on the new man, which is renewed. That renewed there, because of the tense it's in, is talking about continual renewal. It's a continued renewal. As a Christian, we are continually renewed. I'll prove it in a minute. As we grow in Christ, our knowledge of Him renews us. It's the knowledge of Christ that renews us. Yeah, look how Paul makes the circle back around to all this. Did I turn it on or off?
I don't know.
Paul makes this circle, man, I don't know what I'm doing. Paul makes this circle in nearly every one of his epistles. I think all of them, actually. And that is, Paul says in Philippians that I might know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. And you can go through, grow in the knowledge of Him, grow in the knowledge and grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's desire was to know the Lord because he understood and he knows that as you know the Lord more, as you know Jesus Christ more, then it renews you. Knowledge of Christ and the continual renewal go together. The more I know Him, the more I can be like Him. And the more I will be renewed. Romans 13 and verses 12 through 14. I'm just going to quote verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Put on who? So he's using the same analogy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is putting on the new man? Putting on the new man is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, here put on Christ. Put on Christ. And then turn with me just back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 22. It should still be in Colossians, so just a few pages back. Ephesians 4 and verse 22 says, Paul says this, that you put off concerning the former conversation, that word conversation means lifestyle, the old man, your old lifestyle, your old habits, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, continually renewed, and that you put on, using the same terminology, the same analogy, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying and speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another, and goes on, and be angry and sin not. He gives another list. Take off that old man, put on the new man, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That renewal takes place as we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our behavior is either becoming of a Christian or it's not. Is your behavior becoming of a Christian or is it not? And we ought to live a life that is a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, verse 10 again. Put on the new man. Every believer when they accept Christ as our Savior, receives a new man. If you're here tonight, and I would say most of you, I know that you are saved, you have the new man. The Holy Spirit, again, as I said before, abides in you. You are a new creation, a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Again, that word renewed, it means energized or fueled. And again, because of the tense of it, it's talking about continually being renewed. This is a process. Salvation is instantaneous. Justification happens in an instant when we accept and when we trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And sanctification is a process. And we are continually being worked on by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's working on us. He's working in us. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. In the mirror of His word, reflection that I see makes me wonder why He never gave up on me. He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, He's the potter, I'm the clay. It's a great children's song, but it's absolutely true. He's still working on us. And by the way, that will never not be complete till He comes back. And again, we've been free from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, but also one day the presence of sin. Justified, sanctified, and one day glorified. A process. This process, more importantly, and above all, is that God is ever revealing Himself to us. And through that revelation, through God revealing Himself to us, and He is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you want to know God, get to know Jesus. That's what Jesus said. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And as He reveals Himself to us, we are sanctified. We are sanctified. It's a daily process. This word renewed is only found in this particular instance in the Greek, only found twice in this particular Greek word. And the two places it's found is here and found in my other favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16. You never heard this one before. Though the outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. Day by day. Can I remind you tonight that Christianity is a daily process? Again, I'm all for New Year's resolutions, and I usually set a few. I've already given up on mine this year. No, I haven't really. I'm still working on them. But I understand this, that as a Christian, we start over every day. Again, we make the choice every morning whether to put on the new man or put on the old man. We make that choice. Again, the renewed is happening every day, day by day, day by day. Renewed to be what? To be more like Jesus. Renewed to be more like Jesus Christ. Growing in the knowledge of Him so that I can be more like Him. Because that is my goal as a Christian. When Paul says in Philippians, I press toward the mark is to be like Jesus. We ought to, all of us, as Christians, our goal is to be like the Lord. That's impossible, by the way, on our own. It's impossible. You can't do it. I can't do that. But I can through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that He gave me at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me gives me the grace I need. Again, grace is not just God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's unmerited favor even unto enablement. It's the grace of God. By the grace of God, we're saved. It's by the grace of God, we live. Amen. I was just discussing this again with someone a couple Sunday nights ago, that doing things does not make you spiritual. Reading your Bible today and praying today does not necessarily make you spiritual. Put you in a position where God can make you spiritual. What I do, my performance, that's not indicative of my spirituality many times. If that's so, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were spiritual. But God looks at the heart, doesn't He? We need to be careful as Christians to understand that I am to live by faith. Not only am I saved by faith, I'm to live by faith. That the greater Christian life, if you would, the abundant Christian life, putting on the new man, is not something that I can do on my own. It's something I must rely upon the Holy Spirit for. To go to Him humbly. So, Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. I can't do it, but I can ask the Holy Spirit. I can ask God for help, and He can do it through me. Remember that now. We take the Holy Spirit for granted. He's there. He's there for us. And we need to rely upon Him. We need to rely on Him. The new man is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? That others may see Jesus in us. We're the only Jesus some will ever see. And I understand that just, you know, our testimony won't lead somebody to the Lord. We need to also confront them. But my testimony will back up my soul-winning witness. In other words, my witness will be far more effective if my testimony backs up that witness. You say, well, I've tried to lead my aunt to the Lord. I've tried to lead my cousin to the Lord so many times. And listen, maybe you are living the Christian life as you ought to. But again, if your testimony, if your life doesn't back up what you're preaching, it's going to mar your effectiveness in giving the gospel. We should desire to show Jesus to others around us. So again, put on, again, the new man who is after the image of Him that created him. There's so much more here, but because I've been in Colossians for like 2 years, we're going to move on. Verse 11. I will touch on verse 10 again in the conclusion. Verse 11 says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision. And here he's just addressing that there's unity in Jesus Christ. There's unity in putting on the new man. He says there's just no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's no difference between the Scythian and the barbarian. There's no difference between, and he's just going on. He's basically again saying that because we are born again, because we are new creatures in Christ, because we're all children of God, when we accept Christ as our Savior, then there should be no difference between the ethnicities. You come in these doors, you come to church tonight, doesn't matter your ethnicity, doesn't matter the color of your skin, doesn't matter the, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, right? That's so unique about a church. It's so unique to be able to walk through the doors and somebody's driving, whatever. You know, if I name some things, then people are going to... somebody's driving... Nobody drove a Porsche tonight? All right, somebody drove a Porsche, and somebody drove a Dodge. Any, pick any. I'm just kidding. Somebody drove a Yugo, and then somebody drove a Porsche. Some of y'all remember the Yugo? To God, that doesn't matter. And what he's saying is, it shouldn't matter to you either. And it shouldn't matter to me. Shouldn't matter somebody's economic status. Shouldn't matter as Christians. We all come in here, we're on the same level. That's why you can have someone come in who runs a large company and his or her employees walk in and they sit on the other side. When they come to church, they're just children of God. Together, working together. Working together to promote the kingdom of God. Amen? To expand the kingdom of God. To see it grow. I'm telling you, there's been some unique relationships in our church between some of the couples in our church who have vast differences in where they work and what they do. It amazes me to this day. There is no other place like a church. Amen. It really is. God, it's amazing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that some of us can get along with Brother Clay, you know? If Brother Ratledge was here, I'd point him out too. You know, it is. It's just an amazing thing that we can all, with all the different personalities, all the different social, economic, even political status, that we can come together in unity because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what verse 11 is saying. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? Because we live in a day where especially our politicians are trying to divide us. They are doing it on purpose, and people are so blind to it. They want the poor man and the rich man to be at odds against each other when they shouldn't be. When they shouldn't be. They want different ethnicities to be at odds against each other. And that shouldn't be the case at all. They want the uneducated and the educated to be at odds with each other. They're doing it on purpose. I'm thankful I could come to a church where there is, where we're all the same, that the altar, that the foot of the cross is the same to all. It's an amazing thing. By the way, just encourage you in that way that we're all family. Sometimes families will have squabbles from time to time. Still family. Still family. I love it. Somebody, I saw a little video of something where somebody was saying, well, you know, you go down to Walmart and somebody hurts you, but you still go back to Walmart. You know, somebody hurts you at work, but you still go back to work. But somebody hurts your feelings at church, you're done. When it should be absolutely the opposite. This is family. My older brother and I have some differences, but I love him. I'd do anything for him. Absolutely anything. Amen? He's annoying. And he's a dork. Or maybe I am. But we're family. And that's what Paul's getting across here. We're unified in the gospel, unified in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, then he gives you the list, the characteristics of the new man. What does putting on the new man look like? Put on. By the way, it's a command. Notice what it says. Put on, therefore. It doesn't give you a choice. Hello? What does that mean? If you don't put on the new man, then that means you're disobeying a command, which would be what? A sin. Put on the new man. Put him on. Put on, therefore, because of what he's just said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. The elect of God, of course, is the chosen. I'm so thankful I am saved. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that He gave me the Holy Spirit. And the holy, that means set apart. And beloved, that means objects of God's special love. I'm so thankful I'm a Christian. I'm so thankful I'm a child of God. And because of those things God has done for me, that I should put on bowels of mercy. Some of y'all remember when Brother Stewart was here, he alluded to this phrase, this bowels of mercy. You ever been so emotional it hurts your gut? Hello? Some of us have more sensitive guts than others. I've been there many times. It affects your gut. It affects you. That bowels of mercies that we are to put on is, again, that deep, deep felt feelings. But it also has to do with being tender. It means to withhold retaliation. It means to withhold retaliation by active benevolence. When I'm in that bowels of mercy, it means I'm not going to retaliate, but I'm also going to do something. I'm going to do something for someone else. Maybe it's the person who even hurt me. He says, put on kindness. And that's a general word, but being, you know, goodness towards others, being kind towards others. Put on humbleness of mind and meekness, putting others first and willing to suffer injury and insult without desiring to retaliate. I love how that phrase is. It's not that we don't retaliate, it's that we don't have the desire to retaliate. That's a big difference. It's a big difference. When the Holy Spirit helps you, when the Holy Spirit's in control, the new man's in control, you do not want to retaliate. When the old man's in control, you want to retaliate. You may hold it back, but you want to. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require thee but to what? Do mercy, right? And I misquoted it. But to, help me out, love God, do justly, but what's the last one? Walk humbly. Never mind. I know it's my, I'm going to turn over there right now. In my new Bible, it might take me 35 minutes to find it. Yeah, it's love, mercy. That's the whole point I was trying to make. I appreciate feedback. My whole point was, Micah 6:8 says, if we're going to love God, how can I please God? Then it says there, it doesn't say do mercy, it says love mercy. You can't do that without help. And certainly you cannot be humble-minded without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot not want to retaliate. Meekness is power under control. Let's move on. And then it says put on long-suffering. That's to endure injustice or difficulties. It means to have a long temper. It means self-control. Put on forbearing. This is one of my favorite phrases. Forbear one another. It means to put up with each other. We put up with family. We should put up with our Christian family too. To put up with people. Enduring. It means to hold back. Right? Sometimes you got to hold back with family, don't you? You should hold back. I'm going to remind you of a little verse in Proverbs that says, only a fool speaks his whole mouth. This phrase, well, I just speak my mind. That's unbiblical. That's just unbiblical. Be careful what you say. And it means when you put on the new man, you hold back some things you want to say, but you don't say them because you're holding back, forbearing them. And then put on forgiveness, again, to show, listen, this is this definition. I gave you this definition a couple of years ago. I'm going to give it to you again. Forgiving or forgiveness, to show no contempt, conflict, or coolness towards those who offended us. A sincere willingness to put from your mind any resentment or hurt. To put from your mind. You can't do that on your own. You can't. I can't do that on my own. Somebody hurts me. For me to determine to put that away from my mind can only be through the Holy Spirit. To not have contempt or conflict or coolness towards that person. Somebody offends you, you forgive them. And by the way, forgiving has to do with not deciding guilt or blame. Simply canceling the debt. Again, I always use the illustration, well, I said sorry last. She's going to have to do it this time. We act like kids sometimes. Point one at you and three back at me. So, all right, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Colossians there says, again, as we forgive one another, and if any man have a quarrel against them, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Verse 13. In Ephesians, I just quoted, 4:32 says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Christ forgave you. And God forgives you for Christ's sake. For what he did. Again, forgiving, it means to make an end to the fight. It's forgive. Christ forgave you. He's our example. And I don't have time tonight. I was going to go into a little bit about Matthew 18, about family conflict. I'm going to put a message together, several of them together, about how to resolve conflict in a family. And this would also apply to the church. It also would apply to any relationship. Matthew 18 gives you that, details it for you. How can I resolve conflict? And then lastly, he says, put on that love, charity, or love in action. He says, above all things, put on charity. Most importantly, put on charity, to have goodwill and a loving attitude. By the way, that produces an action. It's an action of benevolence. If I truly love someone, then my actions will prove that. It'll show up. We think about this kind of love. We think about the sacrificial love of Christ that he displayed when he lived, died, and rose again for us. What love he displayed. 1 Corinthians 13 says, you can have all these other gifts. You can have all these other things. But the most important one is love, charity, love in action. What's the first on the list when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Then joy. Because it's love that produces joy that produces the other things. Love is what it all hangs on, because that's what hung on Calvary. Love. What great love Christ showed us. Greater love hath no man than a man give his life for his friends. Christ gave his life for us, and we should show that same kind of love to those around us. Love in action, love in action. Tonight, I just encourage you, what you're going to put on. Get up in the morning, decide what you're going to put on. It's a choice that we all make as Christians. Choose the new man. Take a little time. If it's just a few minutes, take a little time. Spend time with the Lord. Read your Bible. Read a devotional. Take time to pray and grow in the knowledge of him. Then the Bible says you'll be renewed. And renewal comes from the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the more we know him, the greater he will work in us. When the child of God looks in the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he's changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. When I read my Bible, when I take time to read my Bible and nourish the new man, feed that new man, as I look for the Son of God in my Bible, as I look for Jesus who's on every page, then the Holy Spirit transforms me into that image, which is my goal as a Christian. And then tonight, we are children of God. Don't ever forget it. We're together. We're a family. Remember that. The devil loves schisms. He loves to get people shook up. He loves for a marriage to, you know, to have schisms and there to be disunity in it. Don't let him have the victory there. We are children of God. May we put on the new man. And I know I've said it 1,000 times tonight. It's a choice. We've said many times, Proverbs says, your attitude is a choice. You get up in the morning, you make a choice. Put on the new man. Choose the new man. And what a blessed day you'll have. By the way, we've all experienced it. We know what it's like having put on the new man and how much better it is, our day is, when we put on the new man. But then, the devil drags us down. That old man, that old nature drags us down. Just determine, I'm going to put on the new man. I'm going to put on the right clothes spiritually. Let's all stand. Only trust him. Only trust him tonight as we sing this hymn after I pray. Heavenly Father, we understand and know, and it's been said so many times that tonight especially, we cannot do any of these things without you, without your help, without the Holy Spirit, without your grace. You've said that you will give us grace and help in the time of need. Lord, we need you tonight. May you encourage those here tonight and those who may be watching based upon what Paul says, that we get up in the morning and put on the new man. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.